This is the 5-Point Play Podcast, the diehard Duke basketball fans podcast. Duke moving on to the Sweet 16. Kind of started a little rocky against Vermont, and then they just came out there and punched my boys, JMU, in the mouth. Jared McCain, obviously 30, just shot the lights out. I only said AC
Days into college, and I'm three lectures behind. There's this guy, let's name him Colin. He says he wants to be mine, but it doesn't really sit with me quite right because he doesn't really.
So like y'all ran into Jared McCain.
Yeah, we fucked around and found out. But I will say that if I'm going to lose, I would rather just get blown out, and that's pretty much.
You did say that.
And so
you did say that
because then there's no second guessing. There's no second guessing when you lose. In that fashion. So, you know, kudos to JMU on a great season, but this is a Duke podcast and proud of the way Duke played. Really, I mean, defensively, they were fantastic. And to me, we'll get into the Vermont game too, because I want to touch on that. I don't want to just gloss over that because I think that game set the tone for what happened on Sunday. I think that game set the tone from the beginning. The effort levels, even when things were kind of a little bit back and forth and a little bit sloppy offensively, I thought that Duke set the tone on the effort level. It started with Colin Filipowski. The guards, you know, kind of brought the energy that they didn't have the last couple games prior to that where we lost. And, you know, I'll say this, AC, and I'll pass it over to you, that we talked about in our last podcast leading up to the tournament that I don't know what can happen in those players-only meetings, but clearly something clicked and clearly something worked, and John even talked about it in his post-game press conference after the JMU destruction. So something clearly is clicking in these teams, and hopefully these players are going to continue. I don't want it to be, oh, we won by 40, and now we can get complacent again. That's the big fear. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but clearly something worked last weekend.
Yeah, I don't see, like, I don't think I'm afraid of this team, like, flaming out because they don't try hard because of what we saw against NC State or whatever else. I think I think it's a two-part thing, right? I think players only meetings, there's two parts to them. That one part is you have the meeting and then all the shit gets aired out and then you play whatever games happen after that. And if you're still doing the same old stuff, players only meeting was worthless. It meant nothing, and now you don't, like, season's over anyway for this team, and this particular squad will never play again together as this group. So it doesn't really matter to them. But you have a players only meeting and you lose, it's meaningless at that point. Like, obviously it didn't matter, but you have a players only meeting and then you come out and do what Duke did this weekend, which was build belief. That's a huge thing, man. I think that's enormous right there. And this team is a team that we've said all year, and we felt before the season started, could beat anybody in the nation. And now you see us in a position to do so once again against another team that presumably is going to give us trouble because of the physicality and stuff. But, and we'll get to them in a minute, but just with what they did against Vermont, man, with Flip, like, not taking one shot against Vermont. And yeah, I know what people were saying during the game, but that was by design, y'all. And you saw the fruits of that afterwards, the game after against JMU, where the shooting was paramount and guys were hitting, whereas they weren't to start the Vermont game because getting used to the neutral court, whatever else was bugging them, you know what I mean, that all that got shaken off. So I think it was all worth it, man.
Yeah, it was certainly worth it. Whenever you get two wins and both of them convincingly, you know, I thought that Vermont game, you know, I think some people were freaking out, but Duke had full control of that game. Yeah. And that was with, you know, Paul Filipowski only taking, you know, one or two shots. Mm-hmm. But he played great. You know, it's very rare that you have a second-team All-American play great and only take two shots. It's a testament to his effort level and doing a lot of other things on the court. Jack, bring you here next. Kind of just sum up that weekend overall for Duke and what it can mean going forward.
This team can go to Phoenix if they keep playing like that. It's two more games of just playing loose, playing like you want it, and I'm proud to be a Duke fan after that. That was an insane, not that I'm ever not proud to be a Duke fan, just get that out of the way, but that was an insane.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Finally, I'm proud to be a Duke fan.
I mean, you could be a JMU fan, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Mm. We're moving on.
I'm proud of this group. I mean, the players only meeting, if that's what, like, sparked this, that's awesome. I will say that, you know, I had heard some not so great things coming into the tournament, and I am thrilled that, at least from what I've seen, they appear not to be the case. That team looked like they wanted to play together. They wanted to play for the name on the front of the jersey. And again, I'm just going to repeat what TK said. Like, hats off to Flip. Took one shot in that Vermont game, and yet I think he was probably the best player on the floor that night.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Like, box score be damned. He had, I mean, he stuffed the stat sheet, actually, if you look at it. Like,
yeah,
scoring be damned. Box
he
score
did exactly what was asked of him.
Yes. Thank you, AC. Like,
two steals, three blocks.
Steals, three blocks. Six,
12 rebounds.
Was it 12 or 13 rebounds? He had a lot of rebounds. He was clutch. He did everything that was asked of him, and when the entire rest of the team is clicking, when you have a dud from the guy who is your most talented player scoring-wise, and you still win by a decisive margin, even if the game was closer than the final score, that's a huge win, and it really, you know, it lets the team get a little extra confidence.
Yeah, and they're playing. They're playing confident.
It showed Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm fully excited for Dallas.
Yeah, I think it did show Sunday. I thought that what they were able to build basically in that first half against Vermont, it really started to translate in that second half, and then the lid just came off against JMU, probably from an X's and O's perspective, because we've already kind of talked about, you know, the players only meeting and the effort levels. From an X's and O's perspective, from game one to game two, what did you like about what JMU wasn't able to do to stop Duke?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the game plan, obviously, you know, John Shire was going to take a look at some things. And I think we talked about it in the podcast prior to that or we might have talked about it on Spaces or Twitter or something. We were just talking about offensive adjustments. John made those. He made those offensive adjustments because what JMU does on defense is really similar to what Houston is going to do. So the blueprint is there. I think getting Filipowski, you know what I'm saying, on the move.
we don't need Filipowski.
Yeah, Filipowski. I know, right?
Filipowski.
Yeah, we don't need turnover Filipowski either.
Yeah, I think the game plan, like I said, was to get Filipowski moving. You know what I mean? And when Filipowski plays a good floor game, I think that's when Duke's at their best. Mm-hmm. When he's not forcing anything, when he's not trying to force his way to the basket, getting those stupid offensive fouls and things like that. When he's able to, you know, set the high ball screen, roll out of it, you know, ghost out of it or whatever, and then make a play, hit the shooters or get to the rim. I think that's the best version of Filipowski. And so I think that might have been the goal. You know what I mean? Is to let Filipowski really mm-hmm. do his thing, because they knew that, you know, the trapping and all that stuff was going to happen. And I think he was really decisive in everything that he did, and that made everything happen for Duke. And the last point I'll make is something that me and AC talk about a lot is how, you know, our guards on our ball screens, our guards always get pushed out to the sidelines. This game, you see guys really turning tight on the corners mm-hmm. and on the ball screens, and they were actually going at the rim and making plays. So I think that's what helped us the most.
Yeah, D, I thought coming into the year, obviously, guard play is going to be what wins. And obviously, when the lid comes off and Jerry McCain goes 8 of 11 from 3, that's going to help. But I thought overall that was as good as Jeremy Roach has played in a couple weeks. I thought Tyrese Proctor was fantastic. And so when you have all three of your guards playing at that level, you can beat anybody.
Yeah. We've said multiple times this year that these guys came back for a reason. Their own record is saying that this is what they wanted to come back for. And that JMU game, all of those guards on the perimeter played as if they did not want to go home. They wanted to go to Dallas. And if Duke continues that trend upward with the effort that they showed against JMU, sky's the limit. I'm not afraid of anybody in this tournament.
Yeah, I think we'll certainly talk about getting into the Houston game and then potentially anybody that we play after that if we win. But AC kind of like bring this all together. I'm just kind of floored because I thought that, talking about the JMU game specifically, I thought that they would try to do the same things that Vermont did, but JMU mm-hmm. would be better at it, especially the way that they played against Wisconsin. But sure. at this point, though, the guards just said, fuck that, nah, we're just going to take over this game right away. And if they keep that same mentality and they, honestly shoot the same way, Houston's in trouble.
Yeah, and one of the things that I liked, especially once again, like you said, bringing everything full circle between X's and O's, players only meeting and everything else. One thing I liked, and I'm hoping continues, is that we established somewhat at least of what our defensive identity was during the season, everything else. Like one of the things about us throughout the entire season was you're going to be under your scoring average when you play us, whether that's because of pace or whether that's because we're playing really good defense. I thought this weekend, you take two teams, both of them who scored a decent clip, we held them under each team, both under 20 points below their scoring average. That's in my opinion, that's a good deal right there, especially considering how kind of fast paced the JMU game was. It wasn't a game of slow down and don't let them score. We just didn't let them score. And we still scored our points on the other side of it. And that's why you see the lopsided victory the way you did. So in my opinion, man, establishing that defensive identity was super important too.
Yeah. And also, creating 26 turnovers across those two games and mm-hmm. having single digit turnovers for us, 15. I mean, you're almost, close to doubling up the turnover margin in those two games. That's mm-hmm. been a thing we've talked about a lot, especially the stupid turnovers yep. we do. They limited the debt. Obviously, they should have come out there and out-rebounded both of those teams. They did. Defensively, I thought we had great game plans. Again, as long as we kind of keep Flip out of foul trouble, I almost call him foul Palsy too. As long as we keep him out of foul trouble, we should be in really good shape going forward. Jack, you're shaking your head. I'm just really impressed with what I saw because I was not exactly the most confident going into that weekend. But, tell people why they should be confident going into Dallas.
First of all, it's Duke. Like, at the end of the day, it's Duke. Duke wins basketball games significantly more often than they lose them. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Second, I really like the matchup with Houston a lot. I think it favors Duke. I think it's just going to be a really good game. I'm excited for it. But even after that, it's like, I just feel like any team that Duke plays, even State, who, we just watched Duke lose to, I think Duke has the favorable matchup.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about the Marquette-State matchup yet.
No, I don't want to think past it either. I'm just saying, like, if you want to be confident in Dallas, you have to be confident beyond the first game.
That's facts.
Ooh, yeah. That was fire, Jack. That was fire. That was fire.
True.
I like that.
That was fire.
Let's get right into it then. I think that a lot of times when you have two comfortable wins, it's so much easier for us to belabor a lot of different points when we're not playing well. We play really well, so let's just get to the predictions, right? I'm bringing in on this one first because I won't break down because we have a coach's corner coming up after this. Is that right, AC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll break a lot of the X's and O's specific down. But after you watched the Houston A&M game, what do you think that Duke can do to kind of take advantage of the vaunted Houston defense?
Well, if we're going to judge Houston off of the game that we watched after that Duke game, that's not the one. Duke would have been up 25 against them the way they played. I don't think Duke needs to do anything that they haven't been doing this tournament. They need to play the same way. Don't get down early. You're not coming back 12 points against Houston in the NCAA tournament. It's not going to happen. You need to go punch for punch, or you need to put your foot on their neck and end it early. And if Duke plays, and TK, you said if Jared McCain hits 8 for 10, they'll be fine. I don't think he has to hit 8 for 10. If he does, great. But I think just consistent shooting, be a threat, take open jump shots, get downhill to the lane. That's what Duke has done this tournament that has been the difference maker. And all these people on the timeline saying Duke doesn't have a chance here, Duke doesn't have a chance there, that Houston's defense is so much better than anybody else we've ever seen in the I don't give a fuck. Like, just play Duke basketball. If they played the way they played the first weekend, Houston's in a world of trouble.
Yeah, Pablo, kind of piggyback off of that. And I think that my point with Jerry McCain is, I think it's unfair to sit there and be like, okay, if he goes 8-for-11 again. Obviously, if he does that, then we're going to blow him out of the gym.
Super.
I don't think it's fair to expect him to go another 8-for-11 or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that that Duke can't win that game. They absolutely can, because we still have Jeremy Roach. We still have Tyrese Proctor. And if they continue the positive momentum that they built over the last couple of games, Houston's in trouble. Pablo, I mean, talk about the yards.
Yeah, so before I make any of my points, I can just say, if you think Duke is going to win, if you think Duke is going to lose, you can basically kiss my ass. But that's besides the point. I think it goes into, you know, everything. I'm just saying, everything that D said, there's absolutely nothing that he said that I disagree with. Everything he said, that is like the basic baseline analysis of how you win the game, is exactly what he said. And that's exactly my sentiment. You know what I'm saying? I just parrot the same thing that he said. There's nothing special that we have to do. We have to just play our game. The only difference, I think that we'll see, obviously from Houston, is that we're going to see better athletes, all pause. They're going to be long, all pause. They're going to be longer. You know what I'm saying? And with that comes with, you know what I mean, defense is going to be flying at you a lot faster, and they're going to close out a lot quicker. So a lot of those times, like, you know, let's say, for example, like a Filipowski short roll, Mark Mitchell short roll, and, you know, you got a guy in a dunker spot on a short corner cutting to the basket. You see that pass? They're going to probably meet you at the rim. So you're going to have to go up strong, and none of that pump fake bullshit that Mark Mitchell be doing. You just got to go up. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, at the end of the day, we good. I feel good about it, and I'll say it one more time. If y'all didn't hear me the first time, if you think Duke is going to lose, you kiss my black ass. That's what it comes down to.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Bring in the energy. I love that. You did bring up Mark Mitchell. I hate to bring up any negatives. I thought that Mark didn't play his best against JMU. A lot of times, AC, it was because he kind of hesitated when he had opportunity to go up strong. And just that's one thing Filipowski did really well. That he kind of thrown and flushed it. Where Mark Mitchell, you need to do that too, because, you know, the time to call him the X Factor is over. Everybody knows, you know, what these teams are going to do at this point. But Mark Mitchell has to take, you know, the opportunities that the defense is clearly giving him to. That's the one. That's the one, though, Jack, right? That dunk is the one time. You know, he was 1 for 6. He had other opportunities where he didn't take it up strong. Which can, against a team like Houston, that can open things up for Filipowski and our shooters. So kind of talk about, you know, what Pablo just said there, AC, and what can Mark Mitchell do to kind of clear his head and be like, okay, I have this ability, because we know that he does, based on the picture that Jashy showed. We know he has the ability to do it, but what can he do to get his line right to be able to execute?
No, I think you're right. I think the hesitation's got to stop. Even Flip, it was actually awesome to see, like, kind of success breed intensity for Flip, because he kind of went up weak on that one play where he got the dunk that everybody talks about. He kind of went up weak twice, got the two rebounds off of it, and then got fed up and just went up strong with it. Like, cool, like, do that. Mark tried. He tried a second dunk. He got blocked by Friedel or whatever. Like, no, Mark didn't score the way that you would want a Mark Mitchell to score. However, we still won that game in a blowout, and he didn't get 10 points. So you can cross that off the list now. But one thing he did do, he had 4 assists, 0 turnovers. He was still looking for the guards well. He got the ball in good spots. He was still positioning himself well to still affect the offense. it's not about Mark Mitchell's stat line with this team necessarily. It's about, is he effective or not? And I thought Mark was still effective in that game against JMU, and I damn sure thought he was effective against Vermont. So
I agree.
So I'm not going to sit here and say he had the world's best game ever. Absolutely not. But I do think that Mark was effective. And I think that needs to carry over for Houston, because one of the ways you can beat Houston is doing exactly what we do, which is you make the middle, you get the middle attack, and then you have somebody waiting on the baseline or in a dunker spot. You're good. Like, if Mark Mitchell's going to sit around on 3-point line and shoot threes, then we're toast. Like, that's the difference right there. So I think, and we haven't seen him do that, you know, the rest of the season there since the beginning of the year. So I highly doubt Houston's going to play drop coverage, because that would fuck up what they normally do. They're not going to go outside of themselves to play Duke. Like, they're going to play like them, at least for the start of the game. So I really think Mark can have a really positive impact to start this game, just like you're saying, by being a strong attacker. I think that's a huge deal, in my opinion.
So Houston's going to play like they want to play, and Duke's going to hopefully play like
they're number one seed. They should play like they want to play.
Exactly. And you know, probably we were talking off camera about this, that you were talking about that Houston's going to have all the pressure on them. She's kind of explained that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, think about it, right? Duke is coming in. Everybody expects them to lose. You know what I'm saying? So it's really no pressure on Duke. You know what I'm saying? What's the pressure on Duke other than, you know what I'm saying, you're Duke, we want you to win, whatever, our fan base, I got it. But, you know, number one, Houston is number one seed. Number two, everybody expects them to win anyway. You know what I'm saying? Number three, they're at home. You know what I'm saying? Number four, they haven't went that far. You know what I'm saying? They've never won a championship. You know what I'm saying? And lastly, you know, it's like they want to beat Duke, because it's still Duke at the end of the day. It doesn't matter that they're seated higher or whatever the case may be. Everybody wants to beat Duke. If you can say, if you can put that on your resume, say, hey, I beat Duke in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, championship, national championship, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That kind of boosts your stock. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, they have all the pressure on them. All our guys got to do is go out there and just win. You know what I'm saying? And just beat their ass, play their game. You know what I'm saying? And if we play our game, we're not going to get no extra kudos for winning, because at the end of the day, look at the national media. Look at the narrative now. You know what I mean? The narrative was Duke, oh, they're the best team in the nation starting the season. Then it went from that to they don't have no dogs. You know what I'm saying? Now we won these games. Now they could give Houston some real trouble. Motherfucker, we knew that's what it was from the beginning. You just didn't believe. You know what I mean? So since your bitch ass didn't believe, that didn't mean we didn't believe. So it's all good.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we gonna continue to do what we do. You know what I'm saying? We about to whip Houston's ass, and y'all could kiss my ass if y'all think we're gonna lose. That's just it.
Facts.
Three times.
Facts.
Tell them, I can't follow that. Go ahead, Jack.
Houston, yeah, they all have plus wingspans. They play incredible defense. This is going to be the third team in a row Duke plays that doesn't have a guy over 6'9".
Yep.
Just because they have Pablo, you're going to go crazy. Just because they have length doesn't mean they have size.
Hey, yo.
Hey. It's the truth. Oh, look, I'm going to stick to basketball terminology here and let everyone else get their double entendres in. Just because they have a bunch of guys with a lot of length, of really a bunch of wingspans, like, it does not mean that they have that is unnecessary. Doesn't mean they have like height. They start three guards who are 6'3 and 6'1 and I want to say 6'1 if memory serves. I can't remember.
6'1, 6'2, 6'3 or something like that, or 6'2, 6'2, 6'1.
Something like that.
They got a small backcourt.
They got a small black court. All brothers, the
forwards that they run, they get like consistent, like 20 plus minute runs, are 6'7", 6'8".
And they only play seven. They play seven dudes, which you should.
They play seven occasionally. There is that center, that 6'9" center that got a bit of burn because of foul trouble last game, but.
They ain't gonna be able to handle our guys, man.
No, they're not. Duke has the height advantage. That's not a question.
And you gotta think about it too, right? Not to cut you off, but you know what I'm saying? Anytime you have a team like Houston, right? A really aggressive team on defense and shit like that, a really physical team, they foul a lot.
Four guys foul out in that game against Texas A&M, right?
Their whole backcourt. So their backcourt.
They didn't walk on getting minutes in regulation.
So That's going to play, you know what I'm saying? That's going to play into what we do. You know what I'm saying? We got great free throw shooters. So I don't think we have anybody shooting less than, what, 75% from the line? Maybe 70-something percent from the line?
I think Flip's in the mid-60s, but that's –
yeah,
I think Flip's in the mid-60s, but outside of him.
A few games, Mark is down for sure.
Okay. Mark's down, yeah. But none of the guards. And we got a bunch of guards who can drive and, like, finish at the hoop.
Yeah.
We got guys that can get to the hoop strong and – a recipe for disaster with the amount of fouling that Houston does.
We've been saying all year that one of the problems that we have is when we play guards, opposing guards that have, you know, more length and height and stuff like that than we do, and that can cause us problems. Now we have the advantage. I think coming into this tournament, we kind of all were like, actually, I mean, if we're going to get one of these long seeds here, that would kind of be the one we would prefer. And so it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to, you know, go out there and win. I think we will, but that's beside the point. I think that it really comes down to we have to continue to attack because they're going to be foul prone, and we get 45 free throw attempts like A&M had, that game's over because we're not going 29-45.
Facts.
If Duke imposes their will early, just like they did against JMU, the game is over. There's not a chance that Houston's going to be able to keep up with the type of physical basketball that Duke is capable of playing. Now, we've watched every single game this season. We've seen physical Duke games, and we've seen Duke kind of, you know, tuck their tail and just wait for the 40 minutes to be over and then go to the locker room. But the difference here is everybody on this team knows that this is a win or go home situation. This is not a, well, we can go to practice and then we play Virginia Tech on Thursday or Pittsburgh on Thursday. You know what I mean?
AC catching strays.
What? That was the first thing.
We should have beat Tech. We beat Texas this year because we should have, though. That's the thing.
But it's a win or go home, and everybody knows that. And I think it showed this weekend. And if they do the same thing coming up on Friday, I don't see an issue. I don't see a way Duke loses if they impose their will early is the best way I know how to put it on both sides of the ball.
It's the correct way to put it.
We have, here's the deal, right? I'm wearing the, I don't give a fuck shirt today for a very specific reason. D, I think you are too.
Yes.
We heard the same song and dance when we played Texas Tech a couple of years ago in the Sweet 16. It became a pick 'em, and I think it actually, the Vegas line ended up jumping over to Texas Tech. If I'm not mistaken, they were like a 1.5 point favorite to start that game, because that was the first time that year, I believe, that Duke was not the favorite during that season. So the world was already saying, like, any line number, by the way, under 4.5 for Houston on towards Houston side, go ahead and take that shit. And this is some betting advice for AC today. But look, man, like, we heard the same song and dance with Texas Tech. Look, I just, like, you hear the dude right now on Instagram talking about, we done with the 90s. I'm done with defensive teams in the tournament. Like, no more. Like, when you can't score, dude, I'm done with you. Like, LJ Cryer, all he does is sit around and shoot threes. All right. Jamal Shedd is 28% 3-point shooter once they started Big 12 play. Before that, he was shooting against Louisiana Monroe and Texas Wesleyan and other teams like that. His stats got inflated that way, and he's still on the season, still only a 31% 3-point shooter. We can handle these cats, man, on defense. We can play our game and work against what it is that they like to do. The main things that have to happen: Flip can't get in foul trouble because we need that motherfucker for this game. Like, his size advantage, what he does on the court is super important. He's been very good about that lately. I want to see that continue. I want to make, like, but Houston's not going to put him in any situations that's going to get him in foul trouble. All right. We're changing venues. So all the hot shooting you saw from Houston against Texas A&M, that goes out the window, because now you got a completely new venue. So now everything is straight up. Everybody's playing equal playing field. And yeah, we're going to be in their home gym or whatever. We were in Baylor's home gym when Shire and them won. We were we've been in home gyms throughout the tournament, throughout the years, bro. I'm happy. I'm happy we're playing in their home gym. Funeral colors. Let's go. Give me the black jerseys. I'm done with these cats, man. Fuck these dudes, man. It's toast. I'm telling you right now, this is done. I'm done with this. Like, I'm done fretting. Teams got to match up against Duke. We don't have to match up against them. They got to match up against us, man. We got five on the floor.
That part.
You can't stop all five of us. You can't. Yeah. I don't care how good your defensive squad is. You can't stop all five players. That's not how defense is made, man. Nah, I'm good, bro. We good.
Yeah, that part. It's crazy that it's like the Duke is only playing offense and we have to match up with their defense. No, that's not the case. There's two sides to this court, guys. and the other team has to match up with Duke. And good fucking luck. Because
that's what I'm
saying. Be a tough ask. And that's what I've been saying all week.
Duke is a bad matchup for Houston.
Yes.
Duke is a bad matchup for anyone.
I'm telling you, that's a fact. But I'm just talking about this game right now. Duke is a bad matchup for Houston. As long as we do what we got to do, we straight. The other thing about Houston, and I'll just leave it alone, you know what I'm saying, is that another key for Duke is, and like Houston, we already know, they're not an offensive juggernaut. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to worry about that part. Their defense is their offense. You know what I'm saying? As long as we keep, you know what I'm saying, our thing, the main thing, we're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? And we're a pretty goddamn good defensive team too. So we all right, man. We all right. Yep.
Yeah, I think everybody's focusing on the fact that we shot the ones out, but defensively we're very strong and our
advantage. Turn the lights out on defense.
Yeah, that's
come on. Give the defense some credit.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I think that if our guards continue to play solid defensively, leading with Proctor, and then Filipowski continues to do what he does, and then I'll give a shout out to Mark Mitchell and Sean Stewart, who I think. You know, I think Sean, he might be like that sixth man at this point. You know, because he's going to be.
He had a good game against JMU, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to be a short rotation for both of these teams. And so if it's straight up 5-5, then I'll take our 5.
Absolutely.
We can use Sean's athleticism in this game, too, in that dunker spot. We can definitely use it. Because he's going up, he's trying to dunk on your ass. He ain't pump faking shit. He's just trying to dunk on your ass.
The Jeremy Roach, you know, finding Sean Stewart for those lobs, that's kind of like what I would like to see happen with Mark Mitchell. But, you know, I'm not asking Mark Mitchell to jump the way that Sean does, but he has the athletic ability to execute in that role. So I think Sean could have a big game here.
I think so, man. I think that's important, right? Especially we're talking about building leads and stuff. Houston's just like every other defensive team in the country. You get a lead on them, they ain't coming back from it. So if we bury them quick, look, they score 74 points a game, okay? And that's we're talking about the number two team in the country scoring 74 points a game. Shitty, all right? And I guarantee you they're going to be under that when they play Duke. So you're talking about a team that's going to score like 65 points. We're going to be up around 80, bro. Telling you right now, I don't care about that defense. I don't care about that defense. I really don't. I don't give a fuck. It's on the shirt. It's on the thing. I don't give a fuck, man. Like, get out of here with that defense, bro. I'm done with it. I'm done with it, man. I'm done talking about that defense.
I agree.
All right, well, Steve, go ahead.
No, I completely agree. Like, I'm just sick of hearing about it. It's on the local radio. It's on national media. It's all over my timeline. I don't care. I do not care. Good. Why isn't anybody talking about how Houston is going to act when...
No, they
when
just put up 95 points, though, D. That's why. Against Texas A&M, who's also
a great defensive team. Gave up 95 points.
Or Nate gave up. Sorry, they put up 100. Excuse me. So they put up 100.
They gave up 95. Why is no one talking about that?
They should have given up about 110 if A&M can hit free throws.
Yeah. The game's not close if A&M hits half their missed free throws.
I got to say, like, the one thing I won't do around this town at this point is listen to talk radio. I just can't do it.
Yeah, it's bad, especially Tim Donnelly. That dude.
He's horrible.
That dude is.
He's horrible.
We get it, dude. Don't like Duke. Next.
I will say
you have to sound like people up here. Oh my god. The sports talk radio here sucks.
I'm glad, honestly, to hear it. I'm glad to hear that we can't be Houston. I love that shit.
I think it's motivation for our guys. Like,
well, like, I was just gonna
remember what Quinn said. Remember what Quinn Cook said.
Never the underdog.
No, but I mean that if nobody believes in you, if all you hear or read or see is, well, have fun in Dallas and go sightseeing because Houston's going to run you out of the gym, that's going to galvanize a group. Nobody wants to keep hearing that.
Hey, not as much as Dan Hurley being galvanized that he has to go from New York to Boston. He has to travel. Really, his team has to travel.
Tough travel right there, bud.
Travel?
A few hours north,
staying in the Northeast.
That's the softest shit I've ever heard, bro.
Hey, D, talk about that a little bit because that's a great fucking point. You know what I'm saying? As far as galvanizing the group, just based off of the rhetoric and the nonsense that you're hearing all day. You know what I mean? Like, talk a little bit about that, bro.
Well, it's human nature to take offense to that, right? And now you're in a locker room situation for a whole week, and you if I believe in you, then you need to believe in you because you believe in me, and it's going to work. Like, I don't know how to describe it really, but you're gonna play harder for the guy next to you because nobody else believes y'all can do this except the people in that locker room. And that's motivation and belief is a huge thing in sports. And if they're a motivated team that believes in each other, that's fucking scary, man. That's fucking scary.
And all the greats, you know, they find ways to motivate themselves. And it can be the same for a group and for a team. And when people don't believe in you, or even if you have to make it up too, but we don't have to make it up here because people are just completely sold. You know, they're like, oh, Duke doesn't have a chance. They're not good enough. They lack the effort. They lack the fight, even though we saw it last weekend. That's fool's gold. I mean, it's just not bulletin board material. It's actually a belief that you can say, fuck you. I don't need to, you know, put it on the bulletin board. I'm just going to go out there and show you. And so if you can come out there in the first 4 or 5 minutes of that game with that same intensity, that same effort, you can be down 10-6. But if you're showing me that effort, then I believe that you're going to win that game. Because sometimes you're not going to make shots, and that happens, especially when you're going into a new arena, new gym, you're kind of feeling it out against a different team. That shit happens. And Houston is a good team. They were number 1, 2, 3 all year because they are a good team. So we're not trying to say that, but we're saying that Duke has the talent and the ability. You match that with the effort and being pissed off, that's a scary combo. And that's what we're all hoping to see. And shit, Pablo says if you don't believe that's going to happen, you can kiss his black ass, and I hope he's right.
We got some friends. We got some friends down at that arena who can help us learn the rims.
That's true. Derek Lively,
Kyrie, D Live, Kyrie, in the building. Not Seth anymore because Dallas, and then trade him a year later. But we got two.
Yeah. And they'll be there. All right, so let's get a couple predictions here because I know you guys are gonna get the coach's corner going. So AC, you kind of already alluded to your prediction, I believe.
80-65. Wow. 80-65. Unlike the Texas Tech game where we were down most of that game and had to come back or whatever, I don't see that happening this time. Like you had just said, like we're changing venues now, so all that shit goes out the window about Houston scoring 100 points and they're capable and all the other stuff that they were saying after in the post game show or whatever on CBS. Look, Houston can score 100 now, and we put that with that defense. Cool, man. That's cool. Like, nah, it ain't happening like that, bro. It is not happening like that. Like, we got 80-65. I'll leave it at that.
Fuck. Jack, what do you got?
78-61. This is a score that Duke – I feel like Duke scores 78 and gives up 61 a lot in the tournament. I remember it happening in the Final Four against Michigan State. I remember – I think that was the final score against Fullerton a few years ago in the first round. Can't be sure. But it's a score that I know. I see Duke score a lot, and give me that again. Make a statement.
All right, D, what do you got?
Duke's going to score 80-plus, I think. Houston, they're probably going to hit some shots. 81-76, but I don't think Duke's ever in a situation where they're going to have to come back. I don't see this team getting down 10-12 points to start the game. We're past that. Duke runs away with it.
Yeah, I think Houston's going to, you know, make their runs because they're a good team. But, you know, Duke, if Duke shows me that effort that we've, you know, hammered home here today, then Duke's going to find a way to win this game. 74-67. I think it will be a little bit more scoring than that, than you know, the getting into the 80s. But I still think Duke finds a way to win because defensively we're really good. And I think we will hit our free throws down the stretch. Proctor, McCain, Roach on the line. That's cash. So give me Duke by that score. Pablo, I saved you for last. Talk to him.
Man, you already know what time it is, man. Yeah, baby. I mean, I don't make no fucking predictions. All I know is Duke.
That's going to get you the exit music, Pablo.
Just fucking win, bro. Just fucking win. Even though he put the intro music on me, you know what I'm saying?
Just win. Just
fucking win. And remember when AFW. I told you, Duke is a bad matchup for Houston. Houston is in trouble. Just fucking win, baby.
Bandwagon's closed too, so don't hop back on after they beat Houston.
Stay on that side.
Yeah, because I will roast you on the timeline.
We'll see you next year when Flag and them come. We only need y'all right now.
Amen.
If you're not with us, you're against us. Come on now.
Lord.
Let's go, Duke.
Let's go, Duke, baby.
Duke, baby.